you have your Bible with you tonight, we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we're not going to keep you much longer, but there is just one text of Scripture that we want to leave with you at the close of the meeting. And certainly we have known the Lord's presence, and we thank God for everything that has gone on before. And we praise the Lord tonight for saving our brother. And we thank God for our brother Sam, who has sung tonight for us. And we believe that the Lord has been in each of the messages and song. And even as we have been here, it has been a privilege and a blessing to be in the presence of God. My friend, if you're not saved, do you realize tonight that you're in the presence of God? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, God says, there am I in the midst, and not to bless. And you're in a very privileged place tonight, because the Lord has brought you here to speak to you. And I believe that He has already spoken to you. And I just pray as we come to close the meeting now, and the meeting's going to be over in a few moments, I pray that you will consider your soul's salvation. You know, when you read the Bible and study the Scriptures of truth, the Word of God teaches us three simple facts about sin. First of all, the Bible teaches us that all men are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You're in this meeting tonight, and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, then you are in your sins. And not only does the Bible tell us that all men are sinners, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but the Bible tells us that men who die without Jesus Christ in their heart as their Savior go to hell. Because the Word of God tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if I had the time tonight, I could take you through passages after passages of Scripture and show you clearly that when you die without Christ, you end up in hell forever. Indeed, just one verse in Matthew's Gospel, the words of Christ, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And of course, that's a solemn truth, and yet it is a truth that is taught clearly in the Word of God. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're still on that broad road that our brother Andrew was talking about, and you're still facing towards hell, your back's towards heaven. And if you died this very night, you'd be lost for all eternity. Because once you die without Christ, there's no salvation, there's no grace, there's no mercy, there's no love. Because you are banished from the presence of God for all eternity. And that is the consequences of sin this evening. And God's Word clearly teaches that. But you know, although the Bible teaches us tonight that man is a sinner, and although the Bible teaches us clearly tonight that man, because of his sin, is heading to hell, I want you to notice a little phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's verse 3. And you read these wonderful words, Christ died for our sins. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Although you're a sinner tonight, although you're heading fast to hell, praise God, the message of the Gospel is simple. And the message of the Gospel is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And praise God, this evening we can point you to the cross, because the cross is the theme of the Gospel message tonight. And there's no need for anyone to die in their sin and go to hell. There's no need for anyone in this Gospel meeting to be lost for eternity. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died for your sins. Now, I want you to think about that tonight if you're not saved. That's the thought I want to leave with you at the end of this meeting. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died for your sins. Young man, the Lord has died for your sins. Young woman, the Lord has died for your sins. Older person, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, has died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. I wonder, did you ever stop for a few moments and consider how the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins? Well, I want you to consider it just before this meeting closes. I want you to notice, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins willingly. You know, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, He made no resistance. He uttered no complaint. He didn't try to fight back in any way, but He went willingly and He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for your sins because He loved you. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. And in 1 Peter 2 verse 23 we read these words, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. And I want you to get a picture in your mind tonight of the Son of God being led by the Roman soldiers from Pilate's judgment hall through the streets of Jerusalem, outside the city wall of Jerusalem, and there upon a cross He is led and crucified. And I want you to see Him going there willingly to die for your sins. My friend, no one forced the Son of God to die upon a cross. No one forced the Son of God to lay down His life for your sins and for my sins. But He went to the cross, and there upon Golgotha's brow, He died the just for the unjust because He loved us. Now, it's a mystery. I can't understand why a holy God should ever love an unholy wretch like me. I'll never understand it. And I'll never take it in. What it cost for Christ the Holy One to bear away my sin. But He left heaven's glory. He came down into this world. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And at the end of that life, He went to the cross. And there, as the soldiers took Him and nailed Him to the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, He laid down His life and He died for my sins and for your sins willingly. Because He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Not only did Christ die for my sins and your sins willingly, but the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died for our sins, He died for our sins painfully. You know, it's impossible for any preacher, no matter how eloquent, to fully describe and explain the pain and physical suffering that Christ went through on the cross. When we think of the nails that pierced His hands and feet, when we think of the crown of thorns that were battered into His lovely brow, when we think of how the soldiers brutally manhandled the Son of God, spitting in His face, beating Him black and blue, whipping His back until it was like a ploughed field. How could we ever begin to describe the physical pain and suffering that the Son of God went through for our sins upon the cross? To think of the very moment when the Lord was nailed to the cross, and when those soldiers lifted that wooden structure between heaven and earth. My, can you hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low? They're nailing my Lord to the tree. Oh, what pain And what agony. And what suffering. You know, today in the medical profession, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, there are five different types of wounds. There's the contused wound. Contused wound is a bruise. There's the punctured wound. The punctured wound is if you get a thorn in your flesh. Then there's the lacerated wound. And a lacerated wound is a great rip in the flesh. Then there's an incised wound. An incised wound is a great opening in the flesh. And then there's what is known in the medical profession as a perforated wound. And of course, a perforated wound goes right through the flesh. If I'm shot with a gun and the bullet goes right through me, that is known as a perforated wound. Did you know that all of those wounds, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered them when he died upon the cross. All the wounds known to the medical profession today, the Son of God suffered them all when he died on the cross for our sins. He suffered a contused wound because the soldiers beat him black and blue. He suffered a punctured wound because the thorns were beaten into his lovely brow. He suffered a lacerated wound because the soldiers whipped his back like a ploughed field. He suffered an incised wound because the soldier took the spear and plunged it into his side. He suffered a perforated wound because the soldiers hammered the nails right through his hands and right through his feet. All the wounds known to the medical profession today, the Son of God suffered them all on the cross. When he died for our sins, Christ died for our sins. And he died for our sins willingly. And he died for our sins painfully. But let me tell you something else. When the Son of God died on the cross for our sins, he died for our sins atonally. You say, preacher, what do you mean atonally? Well, the word atonement means to cover, to cancel, or to blot out. Therefore, when Christ died on the cross and shed his precious blood, he died to cover our sins. He died to cancel out our sins. He died to blot out our sins. He died to pay the price for our sins. And I believe that in those 3 hours of darkness, that was the time when God the Father took the sword of judgment and plunged it into his only begotten Son. That was the time when God the Son bore my hell in his own body upon the tree. My friend, when I was born into this world, I was born a sinner, and I was born deserving of hell for all eternity. And I had to be punished for that sin. That sin had to be dealt with. You know where it was dealt with? It was dealt with on the cross when Jesus died for my sins. And in those 3 hours of darkness, and sinner, you think of this just for a moment. In those 3 hours of darkness, all the eternity of hell that I should have borne, the Lord Jesus Christ bore it all for me in 3 hours of darkness. All my hell. An eternity of hell. The Son of God bore it all on the cross of Calvary. Oh, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he won the souls that was lost. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We often sing that lovely old hymn, "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bears all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." But thank God, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, I will never go to hell, and I will never suffer the flames of a Christless eternity. Why? Because Christ died for me.
Yes.
Because he shed his blood for me. And when he walked to that cross, he went willingly, because he loved me. And when he was nailed to that cross, he died painfully. And when he was on that cross,
He suffered atoningly because he paid the price of my sin upon the cross.
And praise God, someday I'll see him face to face and I'll praise him for what he has done for me. Christ died for my sins willingly, painfully, atoningly. And let me say something else. Christ died for my sins once only. Once only.
Doesn't need to be any more sacrifices for sin. Doesn't need to be any more masses. Because the Son of God has died once, and thank God, once he died, he rose again, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. My friend, because the Lord Jesus has died, you can live. Because the Savior has died, you can find salvation. I wonder, is there someone here tonight? And the Lord has spoken to you, and the Lord has been speaking to you. And you're still in your sin. My friend, die in your sin, you'll go straight to hell. You see, in order for the cross of Christ to mean anything to you, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Take a look there with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see exactly what the Apostle Paul says there in verse 3. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Paul has received something here. What has he received? He has received God's eternal salvation. How did he receive it? He received it when he cried unto God for mercy and salvation. He received it when he believed and what Jesus had done for him on the cross. He received it when he repented his sin. He received it when by faith he accepted the finished work of Calvary. That's how he received it. When did he receive it? On the Damascus Road. And not only had Paul received this gospel and this Christ and this sacrifice, but the people of Corinth had also. Look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received." Have you ever received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Can you say tonight that the Lord has died for your sins personally? Oh friend, come tonight and trust the Savior. Thank God the church can't save you. The preacher can't save you. The minister can't save you. Religion can't save you. But praise God, there's one who can. And his name is Jesus. Because he died for your sin. Just a couple of weeks ago, when I close with this, we were having some meetings over in Liverpool. And the first week of the mission, there was a couple of people who got saved. But there was a young girl who was attending the mission. And at the start of the mission, she seemed to be so rebellious. She seemed as if she didn't want anything to do with the gospel. That was in the outward appearance, but God was working in her heart. The last night of the mission came. It was a Friday night. She was in the meeting. And the meeting went over and she still wasn't saved. She didn't indicate that she wanted to be saved. And we waited for a cup of tea that particular night because it was the last evening. And we were just about to go home. It was 10 o'clock at night. And she came to me and she says, "Mr. Gray, I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I need my sins forgiven. Would Jesus really save me? After the life that I have lived, would he really forgive me?" And my friend, we had the great privilege of opening the Bible and showing her that the Lord Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners. And that night, Christine was gloriously saved. And she went away rejoicing. Friend, you too can receive Christ tonight.
you too can be saved. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care how far down the road of iniquity you have traveled. I don't care. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment to Jesus, a cleansing, will receive.